All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chet Amud Aleph at the two dots. The Mishnah told us, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'achad B'Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah L'Maser Behema. So in a machloket in the Mishnah, between Rabbi Meir, who says that Rosh Hashanah L'Maser Behema is the first of Elul, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who think that it's the first of Tishrei. Gemara wants to understand, where do their opinions come from? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneem Mikra Echad Darshu. They both learn it out from the same pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Lavshu karim atzon va'amakim yatfu bar yitro a'u af yashiru." So the three parts of the pasuk, and they're going to darshan each part of it in order to get to their opinion. Lavshu karim atzon. So Rashi and Tosafot have a slightly different interpretation of that section of the pasuk. Rashi says that mitlavshot akvasim shemit abrot. That the sheep become enwrapped or bigger because they are now pregnant. So since they become impregnated, then they're wearing something, they're bigger. Tosafot says that, if you look at the Targum over there, it says, Yalun duchraya ilui ana. That it's a euphemism for the mating of the sheep. So that's one part of the pasuk. Now the next part of the pasuk is, Vamakim yatfuvar. That the valleys will be covered in grain. So that means that they're planted and they're full, that they're growing and they're full. And then, Yidra'u af yashiru, that they get blown by the wind. And when they're blown by the wind, they bump into each other and they make noise. That's when they're at full maturation. The wind blows through them and they make noise as if they're singing, as if the fields are singing. So those are the three parts of the pasuk. So Meir Savar, Ematai Lev Shukarim at Tzon. When is it that the Tzon mate? Bizman Shamakim Yatfubar. At the same time that the valleys are full of grain. Veimatai Amakim Yatfubar. And when are the valleys full of grain? Badar. That's when they are full, leading into Nisan, where they'll be finished. Mitabrot Badar. They become impregnated in Adar. Veyoldot Ba'av. And they give birth in Av, because we know from the Mishnayot in Bechorot that the term for Behemot Dakot is 5 months. So from Adar to Av is a 5 month duration or term in which they would give birth. Rosh Hashanah Shalem, Elul. Therefore, their Rosh Hashanah is the first of Elul because that's right after they give birth. So that'll be the end of the year. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omim, Ematai Lavshu Karim Atzon. When is it that they are mating? Bizman Shidra'u af yashiru, at the time that the grain is making noise, when the wind is blowing through it and singing. Ematai Shibalim Omrot Shira. When is that? That's at when they're full maturation, they're ready to be harvested. That's in Nisan. So in Nisan, that's when they've reached the point where when the wind blows through them, they sing. We saw that yesterday with the daf about Aviv. Rov Aviv is in Nisan. So mitabrot v'nisan, they become impregnated in Nisan, v'yodot v'elul, and they give birth in Elul. Rosh Hashanah Shalem will then be Tishrei. So Gemara says, v'idach nami, doesn't Rabbi Meir also have in the Pasuk, haktiv, v'itra'u af yashiru? Doesn't he have in the Pasuk also that timing of the wind blowing through and making the noise? He says, ha'u bafelta, davion v'nisan. Those are the late bloomers that only mate in Nisan. But the majority of them mate in Adar. Vidach nami, and what about the Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon? Aktiv v'makim yatfubar. They say, "Ha'u becharfaita da'atin me'adar." Those are with the early birds, the early bloomers that start on Adar. But really, the majority of them are in Nisan. Where it says, "Bishlam other Rabbi Meir kidichtiv." According to Rabbi Meir, the pasuk makes sense because of the order. It says, "Lavshu karim atzon." When is that? Bizman shamakim yatfubar. Vikanami, and in addition to that, there is Yitra'u af yashiru. That makes sense in the order of the pasuk. Elo Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ipcha mi ba'ile. The pasuk should have read differently. It should have said, Lavshu karim atzon. When's that? Bizman shiyitra'u af yashiru. Vikanami, and there's also, as an afterthought, Damakim yatfu bar. So the order of the pasuk doesn't work so well for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Elo Amar Rava. So here Rava entertains a different possibility about their shita, which is Tukuli Amma. Everybody agrees. Lavshu karim atzon bizman shamakim yatfubar v'adar. Everybody agrees that the mating season is in Adar, and therefore they're going to give birth in Av. V'achav v'haikra kamiflegei. But their machloket revolves around this pasuk, which is aser taser. So the word is repeated. B'shnei masrot ha-kotuv midaver. To teach us that the pasuk is speaking about two different types of masrot. Echad maser beima, v'echad maser dagan. One is maser beima, one is maser dagan, which is of the grains, the tevuah. Rabbi Meir makish maser beima, the maser dagan. So everybody agrees there's a correlation now between maser beima and maser dagan. The question is, what characteristic do you correlate between the two of them? Rabbi Meir says, Mekish Maser Beima Maser Dagan. Ma Maser Dagan Samuch Legomro, Isuro. Just like by Maser Dagan, at the time that it's finished, that's when its Maser is. Av Maser Beima Samuch Legomro, Isuro. So too, Maser Beima, the time that it's completed, that's the time that you have Maser. So by Tua, the Asif takes place towards the end of the summer. And so therefore, you would have the Maser take place on Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, or Rosh Hashanah. That's when it crosses over. Maser Dagan, Maser Beima, similarly. When's the finishing process? When they've all given birth. That is an Av. So right after that, you would have their Rosh Hashanah, which would be Echad Be'elul. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Now, the Chachamim, or Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Zavri, Mekish Maser Beima, the Maser Dagan. Ma Maser Dagan, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. Av Maser Beima, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. So they see the correlation as making them the same. Just like Maser Dagan is on the first of Tishrei, so too that of Elul is on Tishrei. Now, later on, the Gemara will bring a Mishnah that tells us that for Yirakot, the Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, the first of Tishrei. But it's never clear why. The Gemara here takes it for granted that Maser Dagan, the Rosh Hashanah Shelo, is Echad B'Tishrei, but we don't have any Limud that tells us that. So Tosafot over here speculates as to what the Limud is that teaches them that Maser Dagan is an Echad B'Tishrei. He says, either you have to say, Gamar Shana Shana mitishrei. We learn out Shana Shana from Tishrei, which we're going to see later today's daf, that there's a Shana, which is Meshita Shana, Rachrit Shana, which we interpret to mean Tishrei. And based on that, we have Xerah Shova to other items that they're on the first of Tishrei. Or, he said, Ve'od Yesh Lomar, like what Rashi says in Ketubot, that lo nitchayvu Yisrael b'maser ad shitchilu limnot shmitim. That Bnei Yisrael are only chayav in masrot once they start to enumerate the shmitim, count the shmitim. So now shmita starts from Rosh Hashanah, from Echad B'Tishrei. So the first time they're going to be chayav in masrot, the first time they started was Aleph Tishrei, because they're going to count the shmita from then. So therefore, just since they were correlated, or there's a connection between shmita and maser, and they are dependent on each other, therefore when they started counting Shemitot, that's when they started the Maser. So that's why it became the Rosh Hashanah for Maser Dagan. But the Gemara here takes it as a given that Maser Dagan is on Rosh Hashanah, on Aleph Tishrei. And now, the question is, how does that correlate with Maser Beima? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon see that as meaning they have the same date, the first of Tishrei. Rabbi Meir says the same characteristic, just like by Dagan, it's the end of its season. That's when you have the Rosh Hashanah. So too, by the animals, it should be the end of the season, which is Aleph Elul. Just say over here, as a Mamar Muskar, as a sidebar, many, many years ago, my brother-in-law told me over, I think it was the name of Rav Sabato, that you have a pasuk that's found both in Parshat Mishpatim as well as in Parshat Kitisa. We read them, Kan Chol HaMoed Pesach, but deal with the Shlosh Regalim. Over there, the Shlosh Regalim have associated with them three mitzvot, which are interesting, but the question is what they're doing there. The mitzvot are, Reshit, Bigrei Admatcha Tavi, Beit Hashem Elokecha. You also have a lav, Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Then you have the last one, which is Lo Tivashel Gedi, Bichalei Vimo. So now, that pasuk also has the Shloshet HaRigalim. So if you look at those three mitzvot, two of them line up easily with the regalim, which is the bikurim, reshit bikurei admatcha, tavi beit Hashem Elokecha. That's referencing clearly Shavuot. When we say lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, that's clearly referencing to Chag HaMatzot, to Pesach. There's a third holiday there, Chag HaSukkot, and the third mitzvah is lo tivashel gedi bichalei vimo. What's the connection between Sukkot and lo tivashel gedi bichalei vimo? Based on this Gemara, we know that when do the animals give birth? Machlok is here whether it was in Av or Elul, but assuming that it's in Av, when are the animals nursing their babies? When do they have their new babies? In the fall time. When would that be? That would be associated with Sukkot, and Lo Tivashel Gedi B'Chalei Vimo then would be relevant to Sukkot, in the literal sense, not the way that we interpret it, the milk and meat, but in the literal sense, Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, that would be when the mother's nursing the baby. And the time period when that is true is in the fall time. That would associate those three mitzvot that are connected for some reason to the Shlosh Regalim. It would say that they all have relevance to one of the three Regalim. Alright. Bechad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. So the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for the years. Now if I was to ask you, what does it mean that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the years? Everybody would answer the same way, which is, well, it's Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year. That's the way you would answer. The fact that the Gemara here already asks why goes back to the introduction that I mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, which is that Rosh Hashanah is extremely ambiguous in terms of its nature, its timing, and nowhere in Tanakh is Rosh Hashanah ever mentioned as Yom HaDin and as Aleph Tishrei. It does not exist. So the fact that the Gemara already asks the question only reinforces this idea that it's not obvious that Yom HaDin is on Aleph Tishrei. So my hilchato, what is the halachic ramifications of it being Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim? Again, I would have answered simply, it's Yom HaDin, it's the beginning of the year. That's a good enough reason. The fact that the Gemara is even thinking about what are the implications is interesting. Amra Papa, Papa answers L'Shtarot. The first answer we get is not even that it's Yom HaDin, we get that it's Rosh Hashanah L'Shtarot in terms of dating Shtarot. A shtar chov that is predated is pasul, and it's postdated, then it's kasher. This is identical to what we did in Bet Amud Aleph in the Masechta, which is when you predate the shtar, you give rights to the creditor that he shouldn't have. He then supersedes buyers or lenders that were before him, so that's why it's pasul. If he postdates the shtar, then it's only to his disadvantage. He grants rights to others. In that case, we don't worry about it. We're okay with it. So, v'atznan, v'chad v'nisan, Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. Didn't we already establish on Daf Bet that the reason that Aleph v'nisan is Rosh Hashanah was l'malachim for kings with an afkamina was l'shtarot, v'amina l'may hilchoto, and Rav Chisda l'shtarot. When it says, lokash, no problem, kan l'malchei Yisrael, kan l'malchei umot. Depends who the king is that you're marking the dating and the shtar from. Jewish kings, then the Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Nisan. Non-Jewish kings, then it's Aleph Tishrei. You have to know whether it's a Jewish king or non-Jewish king when you're enumerating the years in the shtar. So Gemara says, Elaha de'amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela l'malchei Yisrael, aval l'malchei umot olam, mitishrei maninan. That statement of Rav Chisda and Dav Gimel that says, try to resolve the issues in Tanakh. Some of the dating seem to be crossing over Tishrei, and some of it seem to be crossing over Nisan. Over there, Rav Chisda said, don't worry about it. That's only true by Jewish kings. By non-Jewish kings, Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for them. Rav Chisda, matnitan atalei ashmiinan. If you say now that our Mishnah tells us this information, our Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah l'malachim is Aleph Nisan, Rosh Hashanah l'shanim Aleph Tishrei, and those two things mean Jewish kings, non-Jewish kings, that means it's already in the Mishnah. So Rav Chisda is telling us information that's already found in a Mishnah? That doesn't make so much sense. So lo, Rav Chisda, cry atali ashmina. Rav Chisda was coming to deal with the psukim, to show us how to read these psukim in Nach. How do we understand that sometimes the crossover is Nisan and sometimes the crossover is Tishrei? He says that's solved by this problem. Vibay Tema, Rav Chisda, Rabbi Zera. Rav Chisda was like Rabbi Zera, Matni lo, I'm sorry, Rav Chisda, Rabbi Zera, Matni lo, the Rabbi Zera Amar, that's Kufa. He says that when it says here, Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, that means L'Tkufa, for the Tkufot, Rabbi Elazar, he, and it's Rabbi Elazar, who we're going to get to on Sunday's Daf, Tamar V'Tishrei Nivra Ulam, that the world was created in Tishrei. We're going to see a machloket there, whether the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei, and he holds, like Rabbi Elazar, that it was created in Tishrei, and that means the Tkufot, the seasons begin in Tishrei, rather than in Nisan. So based on that, that'll be Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim means that the seasons begin there. That the equinox in Tishrei, that equinox will be the beginning of the seasons, based on him, because if that was the creation of the world in Tishrei. Now that's very interesting, because now we have two answers that tell you why is it Rosh Hashanah on Aleph Tishrei. One is because the seasons begin there, and one is because the Shtarot are dated there for non-Jewish kings. Now finally, in the third answer, Nachman Yitzchak Amar L'Din, that is, because it's Rosh Hashanah L'Din, it's the Rosh Hashanah as we know it. in Tishrei, which is that it's the Yom Adin, the beginning of the year. Tichtiv. So again, he has to bring a proof to this. It says in Sefer Dvarim, in describing the land of Israel, it says that Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, the eyes of Hashem watch over it, Mereishit Hashana Vada Acharit Shana, from the beginning of the year until the end of a year. The Gemara darshins from that, Mereishit Hashana, at the beginning of the year, Nidon Mayeh Besofa. It tells you what's going to be at the end of the year. So at the beginning of the year, you have laid out for you already what's going to transpire at the end of the year. All that tells you is there's some day during the year where there's a determination of everything that's going to happen in the upcoming year. We don't know when that is. It doesn't locate it for us. It simply says that in the beginning of the year, you'll know everything about the end of the year. That's Yom HaDin. We don't know when the beginning of the year is yet. So that's the next pasuk. They say, well, how do you know Mimai de Tishrei Hu? How do you know that Rosh Hashanah is on Tishrei? Dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'gesel yom chageinu. Ezu chag shachodesh mitkasebo. What is the month in which the chodesh is covered? Avi Omer, ze Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. Uchtiv, ki chok l'Yisrael hu, mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. So that teaches you that there's din. So now, this is a lot of pieces to this puzzle. The first thing is, that Kichok Yisrael Mishpat Elokei Yaakov means that there's a mishpat on a certain day. When is that mishpat? That is Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesed l'yom chageinu. That you blow the shofar b'chodesh. So Rashi claims over here it's b'chadash, meaning that in the new moon b'kesed, when it's covered. That's when the people in the east only see it part of the day, and the people in the west only see it part of the day, meaning in the chidush levana. Because the moon goes invisible for a certain duration of time during the molad, during the chidush levana, to the end of the previous month, the beginning of the new month. There's a point where it's covered. That's on Rosh Chodesh, or leading into Rosh Chodesh. That is kesed yom chageinu. That's a chag. What is the chag that falls out on Rosh Chodesh? So there's only one chag in the Torah that falls out on a Rosh Chodesh, and that is the holiday that is b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'chad ha-chodesh. On the seventh month, on the first of the month. Over there, it doesn't tell you what that holiday is, except that it's a Yom Truah or Yom Zichron Truah. Never tells you that it's a Yom Adin. Over here, the Gemara says, well, that day, where the holiday falls out on Rosh Chodesh, that day has, ki, chok l'Yisrael hu, mishpat alekev, that's the day of Yom Adin. Once we've done that, then we say that the pasuk of Mereishit Hashana, v'Acharit Shana, is correlated with that. That'll be the Yom HaDin in which the first day determines the rest of the year. That's how we get to the fact that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, is Yom HaDin, is based on these Limudim. As we saw in the Gemara in Beitza as well, there is a machloket about how to interpret the pasuk of Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chageinu. The way Rashi reads it is, B'Kesel means when the moon is covered. In the Chidush of the Chodesh, or in the Chadash, you blow the shofar on the Chodesh or the Chadash, and that's b'kesed, when it's covered. Rabbeinu Tam, both in Beitza and over here, says the word kesed means mizuman, or the day that is designated. It says that, tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesed liyom chageinu. And the day that is designated for the shofar, the day that's designated for the shofar is Echad B'Tishrei. And that's how he connects it together, saying that it's the designation rather than the covering of the moon. Rabbeinu Meshulam says, b'kesed liyom chageinu means that you cover up. What do you cover up? You cover up Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Based on that, he says you don't mention the Chatat, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. The Rabbeinu Tam challenged him and said, no, that's not the case. And we do mention them, but he says we mention them in a hidden way. But the way that we do it, the practice that the Rabbeinu Tam mentions the practice, and this is the way that we do it, is that we don't mention it explicitly. We hint to the fact that there are Musafim Rosh Chodesh. We never explicitly mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. We mention et musfei, Rosh Hashanah, which is in plural. And we also mention ushnei sirim lechatat. Two sirim per chatat. There's only two sirim because one sair lechatat belongs to Rosh Chodesh and one belongs to Rosh Hashanah. But we don't mention explicitly Rosh Chodesh. We just hint at the fact that there is musfei Rosh Chodesh. The reason for that is a longer discussion. But let us just say that Rosh Hashanah is like a super Rosh Chodesh. So to mention Rosh Chodesh in the context there may not be necessarily appropriate. It's really not the theme of the day. The theme of the day is Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh Chodesh. So in order not to take away from the theme of Rosh Hashanah, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. We leave it on the side. That's one point. So number two is the pasuk that we quote from here for the fact that there is in the beginning of the year is determined what will be at the end of the year. The pasuk has a problem with parallel structure. The pasuk says Mereshit Hashana va'ad acharit shana. It says Mereshit Hashana, the beginning of the year, and then it ends. Parallel structure should have been ad acharit hashana, the end of the year, or the other way around. It should have been Mereshit Shana ad acharit shana, from the beginning of a year to the end of a year. The fact that in one place it uses the Hei Ayidiyah and one doesn't is a problem in parallel structure. There is no parallel structure in the pasuk. So I heard many years ago, Rabbi Friend quoted the Sadma Rebbe, and he says that is the nature of every year. Every year begins Reshit Hashana. This is going to be the year. This is the year when the Gula will happen. This is the year when I'm going to change. I'm going to do everything right. But unfortunately, every year ends Ad Acharit Shana. It ends like any other year. It's just a year, not the year. And he says that's psychology, that's the nature of the world, that every year starts out with all the great intentions, but it always ends up being the same way. So he says, when will the Geula happen? Look in Musaf, Nusaf Svard, in the Kedusha. What does it say? Hein ga'alti etchem acharit kireshit. When will the Geula happen? When the acharit, when the end of the year is the same as the beginning of the year. When it's Mishit Hashana and acharit Hashana, that's when the Geula happens. It's a brilliant, beautiful vort on the pasuk, but it's really a strong message about how we have to, when we enter the year, and with all those good intentions, that we really have to have the wherewithal to carry it out until the end of the year, that should bring to the Geula Shlema, v'mehira bi'ameinu. So now, the Gemara continues along these lines. Tan Rabbanan. Kichok Yisrael hu mishpat Elokei Yaakov. Melamed, she'ein beitin shel malo, nichnasim ledin, elim kin kidshu beitin shel mata et achodesh. That until beitin shel mata is mekadesh techodesh and establishes when Rosh Hashanah is, that's when the beitin lamalo will go to din. So if they decide that Rosh Hashanah is this day or that day, that's when the din happens, that it's talui with Bnei Yisrael. So that's because the beginning of the pasuk tiku b'chodesh shofar, the kesel yom kogenu, when the chodesh is made, then it's a mishpat lelo ke Yaakov. That's when the mishpat, that's when the din takes place. This does have an afkamina l'olocho, that it's brought down in the Shaar Tzion, that there was a, I'm going to say a rabbeinu, a pas valor, who suggested that if one forgot to say HaMelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, that they would not have to go back and repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because Ain't Beit Din Mitkadshin HaChodesh Ela Bayom. The same way by Yalev Yovo, if one forgets to say Yalev Yovo on the first night of Rosh Chodesh, then you don't have to go back in Shmoneh Esrei. Because Ain't Beit Din Mitkadshin HaChodesh Ela Bayom. Since they're only Mitkadsh HaChodesh Bayom, therefore you don't have to go back if you get Yalev Yovo on the night of Rosh Chodesh. So if I suggest the same thing by Rosh Hashanah, that since Ein Mikachin HaChodesh, this Gemara says that it's Talui in the Kiddush HaChodesh, a Beit Din for the Din. So since Ein Mikachin HaChodesh, Elu Bayom, therefore if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh the night before, you won't have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. So, based on that, Rabbeinu Pass Valor says if you left out a Melech HaKadosh on that night, then it would be okay. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion says, no way. If you forget Melech HaKadosh on the night of Hashanah, you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. The reason being, because the Shmoneh Esrei that you're davening on that night is the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. It's one thing on Rosh Chodesh when you daven a Chol Shmoneh Esrei and you leave out Yalev Yovo. Okay, you could say Ain Beit Mikachin Chodesh El Bayom. So you daven a weekday and you left out Main Amelra. It's fine. So that'd be the same thing on the night of Rosh Hashanah. If you daven a Chol Shmoneh Esrei and forgot to mention Yalev Yovo, Ain Ochanami, maybe you wouldn't have to go back. But if you daven a Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah and then leave out a Melech HaKadosh, that's a stira mina oved. How could you possibly mention have Rosh Hashanah be the Shmoneh Esrei and then not mention a Melech HaKadosh? Either it's both or it's none. You can't have it that you're saying a Kel HaKadosh and then davening a Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Based on that, he says that he thinks the Rabbeinu Ephraim is wrong. The Rabbeinu Ephraim is based on our Gemara here, that the Kiddush HaKadosh is what determines when Yom HaDin is. So Tanya Yidoch, we have another Braita. Yichok Yisrahu, Ein Li Elo Li Yisrael, Dumot Olam Minayin. How do I know that this din applies not only to Israel but to Umot Olam? Lomar mishpat lelokei Yaakov. It's a mishpat for God, meaning that it's a mishpat for everyone. Imkain, Ma tamalomer ki chok li Yisrael. So then why is it mentioned? If it's a mishpat for everyone, why mention Yisrael separately? Says that Bnei Yisrael enter the din first. Kidrav Chista. Damar Rav Chista, which we're going to see later on in the Masechta, Melech v'tzibur. You have a king and a tzibur. Melech nichnas tchila the din. The king goes first to the din. The king of the people. Shneamar. Mishpat abdo u mishpat amo. So when Shlomo HaMelech is saying his tefillah, he mentions the mishpat of abdo, of his servant, meaning the king. And then he mentions mishpat amo, the judgment of the nation. My taima. What's the reason that the king goes in before the nation? It's not proper etiquette to leave the king standing outside. Everybody else goes through and the king waits? No, the king goes first and then everybody else goes in after him. The king goes in alone and then all of Klaus are going to go in after him. Hashem's going to get pretty angry after all of Klaus get through because of all the sins. So let him go in first before the anger of God gets roused up. So then, the same thing will apply by Yisrael. Yisrael going first, and only afterwards will the Amim go, because otherwise the anger would be already incited or ignited, and then it would be bad for Bnei Yisrael to enter at that point. So one reason is it's an etiquette issue. The other one is that it's an issue of Charon Af of Hashem. Now what's interesting is that the king goes in alone, Bnei Yisrael go in together. And we know that there's a power of the Tzibur that helps. So it might be that that's the reason or the explanation over here. The king who's going alone and has a much higher standard and is held to accountable for much more because of the nation, he goes in alone. So better that he goes in first before the nation goes in. So even though Hashem gets angry at the nation has the protection of the tzibur as a whole. And that's the drasha by the Isha Shunamit who says, "B'toch ami ani yoshavet." I sit amongst my people means that I have the power of the tzibur. I don't need any special attention by Hashem, because when I go in with the tzibur, I'm protected. So same thing over here. The king who has to go in alone, we say to him, go first before the tzibur goes. And the tzibur has additional protection that can handle the chonaf, which the king doesn't have. So we send them in first. And that might be the reason to send the king first, and then the am afterwards. All right, now, ulishmitin. The Gemara says, the alapitishrei is Rosh Hashanah lishmitin. Mi nolon. How do you know that's true? Dichtiv. Mushana shvi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton, iye la'aretz. Last week's parsha, Pashat Bahar. V'gamar shana shana mitishrei. We learn how to say Shava Shana Shana Mitishrei Dichtiv Reshita Shana, that is, we just proved, referred to Tishrei. That's interesting, because that's not so obvious that pasuk is referring to Tishrei. But now that through a drasha we establish it's Tishrei, now they're extending that through Gzeir Shava to Shemitah as well. The Gemara Shana Shana Minisan. Before we learn out that Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodeshim, was Aleph Nisan, also from Gzeir Shava. That was the beginning of the fiscal year. For the Mikdash, we learn out from Gzeir Shava of the Chodshei Hashana by the Korbanot to the Chodshei Hashana in Parshat Bo that tells you that Nisan is the first of the year. So how come here we don't learn out that Gzeir Shava? Gemara says, "Dektev Rishon Ulachem Chodshei Hashana." So Danim Shana She'eni Machodashim, Mishana She'eni Machodashim. Yodash in the Shana by Shemitah that doesn't include months, to also the Shana that is by Reshita Shana that only talks about years and not months. We don't learn out Shemitah from Mishana Sheyeshi Machodoshim, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan by Parshat Bo, where the Shana is mentioned with the months. It's the exact opposite of why we made the Gzeir Shava by the fiscal year of the Mikdash to the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is because there they both mention Shana and Chodoshim. So Chodoshim, together with Shana, gives you Gzeir Shava to Nisan. Shana without Chodoshim gives you Gzeir Shava to Tishrei. Uliyovlot. Yovlot bechad b'tishreihu. Yovlot b'yud b'tishreihu. Wait a minute. Yovel is not on Aleph Tishrei. Yovel, we saw in last week's parsha, is on the 10th of Tishrei. That's when you blow the shofar and everybody goes free. Yovel starts on the 10th of Tishrei, not on Aleph Tishrei. So why are you telling me that Yovlot is Rosh Hashanah, is on Aleph Tishrei? You could answer the same way that Rav Ashi answered before, which is, it falls in the month. The Rosh Hashanah falls in the month of Tishrei, like he said by Regalim. The Regalim are not on Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Nisan, they're on Tedvav Nisan. Rav Ashi explained it, it's the month of which begins with Aleph Nisan. In that month is the Rosh Hashanah of the Regalim. Could have answered the same thing here, but the Gemara gives a different answer, which is, Dichtiv, Yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar. How do we know that? Because on Yom Kippur you blow the Shofar. Hamani, same answer that we've given a number of times already now, which is Rabbi Shmuel, Bero, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Brokahi. It says, authored, or the Tana of this Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga, the Tanya. V'kidashtem mishnat ha-chamishim shana. It says that you must sanctify the 50th year. Ma Talmud Omar. That's extraneous, because it already told you that you have to count 49 years, and then mimikadesh the 50th year. So why does it say v'kidashtem mishnat ha-chamishim shana, which is extraneous? So ma Talmud v'shnemar b'yom ha-kippurim, because the Torah says you blow the shofar yom kippur, yocholotei mitkadesh edo mi yom ha-kippurim ve'elech, you would think it only be kadosh from yom ha-kippurim and onwards. Talmud Omar, v'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim. No, that you are mikadesh shnat ha-chamishim. Milameit shemitkadesh ve'olechen mitchilata. That it's already kodesh for Yovel for our starting of Rosh Hashanah. Mikan amar Rabbi Shmuel b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Mi Rosh Hashanah ad yom ha-kippurim, lo ayu avadim niftarim lebateihem, v'lo mishtabdim la'adoneihem. There was this twilight zone. From Rosh Hashanah, the avadim did not go home, but they also no longer worked for their owners. Elochlim v'shotim u'smechim. They eat, they drink, and they party. Vatarotayim b'roshayim, and they're wearing their crowns. Kevin shigia yom ha-kippurim, taku beitin b'shofar. Beitin blows the shofar. Nifturu avadim levatehem. V'sadot chozrot lebaleihem. That the avadim then go home, and all the sadot exchange. So what Rabbi Yishmael ben Ober Shmuel ben Broka says, that the freedom starts on Rosh Hashanah and ends with the final freedom on Yom HaKippurim. But it really starts on Rosh Hashanah. So they party from Rosh Hashanah. Rashi points out, they put on their crowns. Rashi says that's optional. That's not mandatory. If they feel like putting on crowns to show that they're free men, they can do that. But they don't have to do that. Basically, they just haven't gone home, but they're already looking forward to their freedom. And then it happens on Yom Kippur. So what Rabbi Yishmael ben Ober Rechem Yochanan ben Broka says is that the Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, but if it only comes to fruition, it's only executed on Yom Kippur, as opposed to the Chachamim, who say, no, everything starts on Yom Kippur. So you could look at Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in one of two ways. Either, once you blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, retroactively, it's effective from Rosh Hashanah. That's one way to look at it. So they party in anticipation of the shofar being blown on Yom Kippur. Or you could argue, similar to the way that Rav Soloveitchik argues with regards to Somot, with fast days. There's an issue with regards to saying Aneinu on fast days. The Bala Mor has a shita that you say Aneinu at all three tefillot on a fast day, even though a fast day like Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, the Sar B'Tevet, is only during the day. Why would you say Aneinu at Mariv the night before if you're not fasting? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that there's a Yom Tanit, the day, the 24-hour period has a day of Tanit. You only practically fast during the day. But the day itself is a Yom Tanit. It's a 24-hour period of Tanit. It's especially borne out. If you look in the Ber Halacha with regards to these Taniyot, he says that, in truth, these Taniyot really should be 24 hours, and they should have the trappings of a fast like Tisha B'Av, but we don't because of whatever reasons. There are a number of reasons maybe why we don't do that. But he says, Me'ikar Din, that you really should keep the Chamesh Dinuim, and you should also do it from the night before. So that the Ber Halacha brings down. So you see that it's really a Yom Tanit, even though we practically only fast during that day. You could argue the same thing here in the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that Yovel, it's a year of Yovel. Okay, practically, the slaves are only freed on Yom Kippur. But the year has a Shem Yovel already starting from Rosh Hashanah. So that's one of the two ways that you can look at Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. On the other hand, the Chachamim argue on him and say, Rabbanan, Shanim, Ata Mikadesh, V'Ata Mikadesh Chodoshim. That you sanctify years and you don't sanctify Chodoshim. We're going to see this later on in the Masechta. There's an opinion, Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon, who says that Beitin is not Mikadesh the Chodesh. You only Mikadesh years, which is the Yovel and counting the Shemitah, but they're not Mikadesh the Chodesh. So they said that's what it means here. V'Kidashtem Eshnat HaChamishim Shana. That teaches you Shanim, you're Mikadesh, not Chodoshim. So that's what they learn, and they say no, that the Yovel begins on Yom Kippur. So Tanya Idoch, we have another Braita. Yovel hi, ma Talmud Omar. Yovel hi, that it is a Yovel. What is it going to come and teach you? Fishin emar kidashim etshnat ha-chamishim, that you have to sanctify the 50th year. Yochol shishkem shemikadeshet v'olechet mitchilata, kach mitkadeshet v'olechet besofa. Just like in the beginning, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Yovel is started early. There's like a Tosefet Yovel. Yovel starts in Yom Kippur. We really started from Rosh Hashanah, according to him, based on the Pasuk. So too, at the end, you would say the same thing. Just like it ends at Rosh Hashanah, maybe it should continue Yovel onto Yom Kippur. It should go on for another 10 days to have Mosivim Michol Al HaKodesh. Ve'alti tamam. Why should that be a surprise to you? Sharei musafim michol ala kodesh. Because we do this in other instances where we add on to the chol, we make it kodesh. So Yovel starts early. It starts before Yom Kippur, and it should end maybe after the termination of the year into Yom Kippur the following year. So Talmud Omar Yovel hi shnat ha-chamishim. Shnat ha-chamishim ata mekadesh v'yata mekadesh shnat ha-chamishim ve'achat. That's it. 50th year, not the 51st year. There's a limit to Yovel. It cannot extend over that period of time. So that's a limud for Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rocha. According to the Rabbanan, who don't have a Tosefet in the beginning, they don't even have a minute to make a Tosefet at the end. So what do they do with this pasuk? Shnat chamishim atam muneh, vi atam muneh shnat chamishim ve'achat, or the Girsa of Tosefot is, yatam muneh shnat chamishim achat. So you count the Yovel as the 50th year. You may not count it as, the way Rashi has the Girsa is, shnat chamishim, and then pause, ve'achat. You cannot count it both as the 50th year, as well as the first year of the next cycle, or the way Tosafot says it is, without the Vav, that Yatamune Shnat Chamishim, you can't count the 50th year as Achat, the first of the next cycle. Ve'afuke mid Rabbi Yehuda. That comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar Shnat Chamishim ole dekan udekan. That the Yovel is both the last year of the first cycle, as well as the first year towards the next cycle. So the Yovel is 50th year of the previous cycle, but it's also the first year of the next 49-year cycle. Kamash v'lon, delo. From here, we learn out against that position of Rabbi Yehuda, that is Shnat HaChamishim, and not the first year of the next count. It's not Oleh L'kan L'kan. It does not capture both cycles in that year of the Yovel. Tosafot over here says, the Ri says that the Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because many Stam Sugyot and Shas are like Rabbi Yehuda, and Tosafot mentions that our Gemara over here seems to indicate that it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan here specifically say that it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's clear that we hold like Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, because we are Mikadish the Chodoshim. So there are many opinions here that lean in favor of Halacha in being like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why the Ri says that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but Tosafot says that the Gemara concluded, Lafuga mit Rabbi Yehuda. And that is the way that we hold Halacha, that Yovel does not count towards both years, both the end of the previous cycle and the beginning of the next cycle. Okay, we'll stop over here.